It would help if you had a map with you as we do this lesson. We're going to take a flyover trip, taking a look at the different geographical features in the land of Palestine, just see where things are and what happened in these different areas. If we start at the far north, we're going to see the town of Dan, D-A-N, standing there at the foot of Mount Hermon, this very tall mountain which was the headwaters, representing the headwaters of the Jordan River. And if we go all the way south, just to get an idea of the stretch of the land there, we end up with a series of wells and an oasis called Beersheba. And then, of course, we're down getting very close to the Negev, part of that wilderness basin. And that's maybe 150 miles from Dan to Beersheba, which doesn't seem like much. But can you imagine? Of course, in our day, we're zipping along 70 miles an hour. But in those days, thousands of years ago, a camel caravan could take around 5 days traveling that distance. So it must have seemed much, much bigger in those times. If you were with a flock on foot trying to get them from one place to the next, they might take you 15 to 20 days to do that. What about the width? Well, in some places it's only 30 miles from the Mediterranean to the border to this huge trench called the Jordan River Valley or the Jordan Valley. And we'll talk more about that trench later on. In the south, it's a little wider. It's something like 80 miles from the Mediterranean. So anyway, we want to see what we're talking about here as far as the total space. It's something like 11,000 square miles. And somebody said it's comparable to the current nation of Belgium. Wow, a lot of history happening in that small a territory. The thing that I want to impress on you is how varied the terrain is and the kinds of things that happened there and the kinds of geography that you run into. Yeah, there are some really desolate desert areas, no doubt about it. But there are also some mountains and valleys and some amazing things that you could run into there. I'd love to take a trip sometime. I don't know if that's going to happen, but that would be fascinating. Well, let's start with the Mediterranean. Let's take a look there. Mile after mile, we get these wonderful beaches, which is great for people, but there aren't a lot of land pieces that stick out to create nice harbors. And in fact, during biblical times, there were really only two port cities up and down the whole coast. And there wasn't really any good harbor for that entire stretch there. One of the port cities is Joppa. You may see that on your map, kind of smack dab in the middle there. And that's where Jonah, who was trying to bail on God, set sail. The other port city you may see just north of Joppa is Caesarea. You see that on there? It was the official residence of the Roman procurators, built by Herod the Great. And that's where Paul was actually in prison before he got sent off to Rome. Now, alongside, just to the east of the Mediterranean, is the coastal plain, the land there. And it was narrow, but it was full of good cities. And in fact, up north, you may see Tyre and Sidon, a couple of cities that the Phoenicians had on the plain of Phoenicia. The king of Tyre, in fact, is the person who sent King Solomon some workmen to complete that first temple. And then I hope you see on there Mount Carmel. Do you see where the land juts a little bit to the west there? And you may know of Mount Carmel. That's where that great clash occurred between Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Just south of Mount Carmel, again in that coastal plain, is something called the Plain of Sharon. And it's a beautiful, fertile area. Lots of flowers grow there, and the white narcissus called the Rose of Sharon. Mentioned in the Song of Solomon. There are orchards there, there are gardens, sheep graze there, part of that route, the caravan route that would connect the Mesopotamian countries like Babylonia and Assyria, connect them to Egypt, so part of that fertile crescent here. If you keep looking at the map, south of Sharon then, we get the Plain of Philistia, or the Philistine Plain, maybe you can see that one. Tremendous area to raise crops there, especially grain. And they had a federation there. The Philistines had a federation of five cities, including Gaza, course, you can see Gaza on there as well. So this is the land of the Philistines, the ones that came over from basically the Greek areas and scooted along the coastline here. Well, east of the coastal plain, if we start moving in further to the east, we get to something called the Shephelah. Shephelah, Shephelah, means low country. It's a series of chalky hills that get you up to about 600-700 feet above sea level with some valleys in the way. And these valleys are pretty well watered. So you get, again, some good fields of grain, you get olive groves, you get vineyards. This is the area that the scouts sent out by Moses gathered some of the fruit to take back, some of the grapes and things to take back to show the richness of the land. The most northerly valley there that connects the higher hill country with the Mediterranean, one of the valleys that sneaks through there is the Valley of Ajalon, and that's where Joshua and the five kings fought. And then we get the Valley of Sorek. Maybe you can see that on there on your map. That's where Samson was born and where he let loose a whole bunch of foxes to destroy harvest time. And then south of that is the Valley of Elah, and that's one of the most famous places, I would say, as far as what took place, as far as envisioning this. So imagine a valley cutting through east to west, connecting the hill country with the ocean there, the Mediterranean. And in this valley was where David and Goliath met. So if you can imagine this gentle sloping land, it would form this kind of like a half pipe. And so on one side of this valley, you'd see the Israelites. And on the other side, you'd see the Philistines and out stomping out every day from the Philistine ranks down to the bottom of this valley would come Goliath. So I think that's interesting. I'd love to have had that time machine and take it back to that time period. Then there's a mountain range. If we go east again, so we've been moving east all this time, then we come across a mountain range that stretches all the way in the north, Syria, through the whole length of Palestine and down into the Sinai Peninsula. And it's the central highlands, it's known as, of Palestine. The northern part, up north, that area forms Galilee. And they call that the garden spot of the Holy Land. That's where Jesus grew up. There you have towns like Capernaum, and you have the wedding feast took place at Cana. That's up there. And the plain of Jezreel, or Esdraelon, that's where Gideon fought the Midianites. That's where Saul and Jonathan got overthrown. Mount Gilboa, I believe, is part of that as well. And if you keep coming south, there's another hilly section called Samaria. And that's where Ahab and Jezebel lived. And that's where armies coming from Syria and Assyria came down. Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman at the well. If we come down a little further, now we're at the tribe of Judah, and where we see the country around Hebron and Jerusalem. Now that's pretty dry in that territory. It's hilly, it's mountainous. Bethlehem, if you've seen Christmas cards and all, the birthplace of Jesus, you think of Bethlehem, but you don't think of where it is geographically. Well, we're up in the mountains. Bethlehem is 3,500 feet. So where I live in San Diego County, 3,500 feet gets us pretty close to the top of Mount Palomar. So that's quite a ways up. And of course, a lot of stories take place around Jerusalem. We get David, we get Solomon, we get the Queen of Sheba, Jeremiah, Sennacherib, Lazarus. Jericho is not too far from that, again, to the east. Now, if we go east one more jump, so we've gone along the Mediterranean, we've gone to the plain, we've gone to Shephelah, and then we've gone to the mountain areas. One more jump, and we encounter something called the Rift Valley. It's a huge scar on the face of the earth, like a deep wound, like somebody just slashed a sword down through there. It forms the Jordan Valley and the Dead Sea. And this is, of course, where the River Jordan goes through, and it starts with Mount Hermon, and its waters plunge down further to the Sea of Galilee. By the way, the Sea of Galilee is actually below sea level. Interesting. And, of course, that's where Jesus did a lot of his ministries, and so we'll keep moving there. Then the Jordan leaves the Sea of Galilee, it's only 65 miles to the Dead Sea. Well, that's if you're a crow flying, right? Take a look at your map. That looks pretty close, doesn't it? The Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee. But it's such a twisty river that it's something like 200 miles, and it drops about 3 feet per mile getting to the Dead Sea, the Jordan River does. So it's really scooting. That's a pretty fast-flowing river. The Dead Sea, by the way, is almost 1,300 feet below sea level, so it's the lowest known point on the Earth's surface. Have you seen any pictures of people that can get in the Dead Sea? It's so salty that a human body can't sink. I always thought that'd be pretty funky to get in there and just see what that feels like, taking a river, taking a bath in a salt bath, I guess. Then we get this, the beyond these rocky walls, we get this strip of hill country one more time over to the far east, and that's been a fertile area. Jacob wrestled there with the angel of the Lord. There's Mount Nebo. Can you find that on there? I don't know if you can see that, but that's where Moses had a chance to see the land of Canaan, below and east to the Dead Sea there. And if you notice, the land of Moab is there, and that's famous in the story of Ruth, of course. And also down that way was the famous two cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which apparently are buried by the Dead Sea itself now, inundated by the waters there. Well, that's a fast trip, but I just wanted you to get the feeling. So think of it as flat and low, moving up to higher and hillier, and then dropping precipitously into this tremendous rift valley with some more hills and mountains to the east of that. And that'll give you a good feeling for what's going on here. So in the Psalms, for example, when one of the Psalms says, "Let us go up to Jerusalem," they're not kidding. They are going up, not meaning up on a map, like we say going up to Los Angeles from San Diego County, but they're literally moving up in altitude. And I don't think of that when I read these stories. I have to keep that in mind, that there's definitely geography that plays a big role. So that's part of using your imagination. As you read the stories, as you think about these things, for example, the confrontation of David and Goliath, if you can imagine the Valley of Elah there with the Jews on one side and the Philistines on the other, and this guy coming out in the middle and challenging them in sight of everybody there, must have been pretty impressive. So try to use your imagination. Pick up an atlas sometime. Most Bibles have them in the back. I have some of them on my website as well. So I hope this makes sense. I hope you can use the information I just gave you.